Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Blast Burn Radio. I am your host, Jolly by Nature, and with me today are my two wonderful co-hosts, Rohane and Messer Engine. Guys, how the hell are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Jolly. How are you?
Fan-fucking-tastic. Rohane, what's going on, buddy?
Really? Not a whole lot. What's going on here?
Well, since this is our very first show and none of our listeners have any idea who the hell any of us are, Rohane, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. Well, my name is Rohane. I am 25-year-old dude chilling out in the heart of Indianapolis, Indiana. Nerd at heart. Little confused at what's going on, but pretty excited. You told me a little bit, so yeah, can't wait.
Okay, awesome. And Mez Buddy, for our listeners, who are you?
So I'm Mezzer Engine. You can call me Mez. I'm 32. I'm from the frozen north, aka the state of Maine. I am the CEO and founder of Mythic Portal Games and a longtime friend of these two bozos. So, we showed up because, Jolly invited us to some sort of Pokemon challenge. And, I told him I'd show up for our first episode here and figure out what the hell's going on.
Okay, cool. So yeah, as you've kind of mentioned, Mess, so this is Blast Burn Radio. And this is a, show or a podcast where the three of us will be playing and discussing Pokemon games.
Okay. Wait. We're really just going to be playing Pokemon?
Oh, come on. You know, Ryan, you know that a game designed for children is probably still hard, too hard for you. You know that, right?
Wow. Okay.
I've seen you heal and wow, bastard.
I have saved your life more times than you can.
All right, guys, let's put the dicks away. no, like we're not just playing Pokemon. Like this isn't going to be just like the elementary school, you know, playground where we whip out our Game Boys on recess and you know try to kick each other's asses. It's a little more complicated than that. You know, we've grown beyond that as human beings. We're all grown ass men.
Well, of course we need a link cable, like. You can't just pull the Game Boys out.
Well, no shit. I mean, for us old fucks, I mean, these new kids, that's literally how they think it works. You just pull the Game Boy out and you're fucking golden. But, you know, we'll leave the get off my lawn talk for later. you know, again, we're all grown. That level of playing those games just really isn't going to be engaging for us anymore. But we'll get into what we're playing and how we're playing it later. First, I want our listeners to get to know our hosts a little bit. Again, this is a brand new show. None of us have any previous public persona. We're not previously established, you know, streamers and podcasters. So I kind of want to introduce ourselves, and specifically, as this is a Pokemon-themed podcast, I want to introduce ourselves in the context of our love of and relationship with the Pokemon franchise. So first, let's dive into that a little bit. Let's talk about our history with Pokemon. Rohane, buddy, why don't you go first?
Okay, so for me, I was never actually the jump straight into Pokemon straight from the beginning. My first run with Pokemon was actually Fire Red. This was mostly due to being broke as a kid. and then my first completion, was Pokemon Emerald. And since then I've kind of fallen out of Pokemon just because life happens. And I am now jumping back into Pokemon because you are dragging me into this. My body is not ready.
Okay, so then you would classify yourself then as a very casual level fan of the series. Like, you like it, but you don't have a ton of hands-on experience. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, that would be incredibly accurate. I don't have a ton of experience. I was not into the whole number crunching. I just kind of figured out what worked, figured out what didn't work, and went from there.
Okay, cool. Mess, how about you, buddy?
Oh, man, so Blue and Red came out in, what, 1996? That sounds about right. So I was 11. And Pokemon, as I'm as Jolly absolutely knows, was like a total crazy fad, like right when it came out. So all the kids were playing, and my parents weren't really big on video games growing up. So I didn't really play for probably the first couple months that it was out. But as it ended up happening, I had to have dental surgery as a kid, and it was not going to be a good time, and I was really scared. So my parents, to kind of incentivize me to not freak out, said they would buy me a game from a Game Boy. And I was like, oh, man, I totally want to get Pokemon Red. It's going to be so awesome because I had a cool-ass Charizard on the front. And they totally bought it for me. And that was like the very first time when I was a kid that I had dental surgery and found out that I get really sick from having anesthesia. So as I was recovering on the couch, just feeling miserable and unable to eat anything, I had Pokemon Red to keep me entertained, and it made everything a lot better. So I have a very fond memory of that game and playing through it. I actually eventually managed to buy a copy of Blue with my own money and got the whole Pokedex completed. And as, 11, 12 year old, I felt very, very accomplished. I stuck with Pokemon for a while. I know that I played Silver and Gold, and I played Black and White. I did not play Ruby and Sapphire. And then I didn't have a handheld for a really long time. Like Brian mentioned, life and all that. But I did pick up a 3DS and, most recently got back into it with Sun and Moon, and it was a really great time. I've never been really hardcore like some people are, like knowing all the stats and every move and name of every Pokemon in every generation, but I have a pretty good handle on the games and how they work. Definitely not as much as Jolly, but so I'm like semi-casual, almost hardcore, but not quite in terms of my history with the games.
Okay, cool. And outside of the main series, you played a ton of Go with your wife, didn't you, Maz?
Yeah, I do. When it came out last year, about now, actually, I think they're celebrating their 1 year anniversary right now. I was on vacation because my birthday is here in July. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take my birthday off, and Pokemon Go launched. So I had a ton of time to just walk around Maine, and catch an ass ton of Rattatas. And my wife was so jealous, because she couldn't play it on her phone, that she actually went and upgraded her phone, which she had stubbornly decided not to upgrade for like years. And now she is like 4 levels higher than me and has almost all of Gen 1 complete and a large portion of Gen 2. It's so embarrassing at this point. She's like, you don't have this yet? And I'm like, no, I don't have time. but she's really big into that, and I still play with her. We like to go for walks and stuff like that. So Go's actually been really good, I think, for the revitalization. Not that it ever really went away, of Pokemon. It really kind of re-energized the series at a time when Sun and Moon was coming out. And I don't think it's ever been bigger than it is right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Between Go and the 20th anniversary, and Go especially, just, it really hooked our generation back in, the people who were a part of that first cresting fad back in the late 90s, and a lot of them dropped off because, it stopped being cool. We were in high school and shit. We were trying to get pussy. Nobody wanted to talk about Charizard. but it really kind of captured that same feel, which was really, really neat. I wasn't a huge fan of Go. Like, even when it first came out and it was really big, and me and my wife were finding babysitters and going and walking around downtown for hours looking for, cool shit on the canal. Even then, like, I couldn't help but notice all the glaring gameplay flaws in the game. And I was like, okay, this is fun for now, but I can tell it's not going to be fun for very long, personally. But that's just me. And I'm certainly not hating on anybody who loves the thing. Like, it's definitely a really cool, really novel idea. And it got a lot of people to love the games again. And that's fucking fantastic. So as for me, as for myself, I was very much on the bandwagon from the jump. The North American release of Red and Blue was, I believe in 98. I want to say 96 was the Japanese release and 98 was the North American. But I know that I got Pokemon Blue and my first Game Boy together as my 12th birthday present. And I played the shit out of those games. By the time I was done with Gen 1, I had all three games. I had Blue, Red, and Yellow. I had two Game Boys so I could trade with myself like a fucking mouth breather. Okay, it's time to really whip my nerd dick out. I had the Game Boy printer. And if you completed the Pokedex, you could hook your Game Boy printer up to your Game Boy and it would print like a little certificate of completion, a little fucking you did it with a Pikachu on it. And I really wish I still had that fucking thing, actually. If I did, I would frame it because it's fantastic. But yeah, all that shit. You know, I didn't have a ton of money growing up either. And I was very much in the culture of when you finish a game, trade it into Funko Land and then you can get more games. And I'm just kicking myself in the balls for it daily now because like, yeah, all my old really cool shit, my old Pokemon games, all of that is just fucking gone so that I could trade in to buy just garbage, just absolute garbage because fucking teenagers have shitty tastes. But yeah, I was huge into that initial fad. I played the shit out of the Game Boy games. I played the shit out of Pokemon cards. I used to go to the Pokemon League events to play cards back when that was a thing, back when Toys R Us was a Toys R Us. Our local Toys R Us, where I used to go to play Pokemon League, is a fucking school now. And if that's not sacrilege against children, I don't know what is.
But that hurts a little.
Right? But when it was a Toys R Us, I used to go there and play Pokemon cards. Yeah, watch the anime every single Saturday morning. Like I was super duper into it. All the way through Gen 2. When Generation 3 came out, I was high school age, of course. I was either a sophomore or a junior. I forget exactly where. But it just, to me, that was kind of my falling out point with the series. Not that it was bad. I want to throw that out there now because I know that Generation 3 has a lot of very staunch, very adamant fanboys. And I'm not saying that they're bad games. I can respect a lot of things that Generation 3 did. But for me personally, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald is the low point of the series. I didn't like Hoenn as a region. To quote the meme, as it were, 7.8 out of 10, too much water.
What do you mean? You didn't like surfing like, from one end of the town to the other?
I wasn't a fan of a lot of things about it. Personally, it really, really busted my balls that it wasn't backwards compatible with Gold, Silver, Crystal. That I had, you know, this complete Pokedex that I'd spent years of my life on that was now stranded in Gen 2 because Gen 3 wasn't compatible. Like, looking back now, I understand why they did it that way. That was very important, but it still made me furious then. Again, I was like 16 years old, like Pokemon wasn't really cool anymore. So it was a little bit harder to maintain that level of interest when the games weren't that engaging. I did like Fire Red and Leaf Green a lot, which kind of cemented for me that these games were kind of moving beyond me and that I was just liking the nostalgia factor. And so I moved on from them for a while. I'm going to be completely upfront about that. I'm not one of these guys like, you know, Maryland who was, you know, on board the whole time, never wavered. I never played a Gen 4 game. I still haven't touched them. I'm actually really, really looking forward to picking up Diamond, Pearl, Platinum once we get to those with this project. But I've never played them before. I actually didn't pick Pokemon back up until Black and White were current. And I picked them back up because my current wife, when we started dating, we were dirt poor. Like she was a full-time college student. Who worked part-time as a cashier. I was a full-time retail worker. We just didn't have a whole lot going on, and we were both gamers, but we had very little in common as far as being gamers. Like I was very much an RPG guy. I like to play, JRPGs like Final Fantasy. I like to play MMOs like WoW. Whereas she was really mostly into shooters or specifically zombies. She has this huge thing for zombies. And so, you know, games like Left 4 Dead is her all time favorite game. And those just didn't really hook me. So we were looking for like common points of interest. And the two that really stuck out for us were Dynasty Warriors of all things, which I've still got most of those games. And every now and again, we'll just beat the shit out of faceless hordes of Chinese people for fun. And Pokemon. We both had a ton of fond memories of Pokemon. So we picked up Black and White and we played them together. And at that point, they just got their hooks back into me. And it was like, I never stopped. Like Pokemon is my first fandom. Like, it's the very first thing, other than probably Power Rangers, that really, really got its hooks into me. And I love the shit out of it. I love the fact that now that I'm a dad, it's something I can share with my kids. Like, my daughter can sing the theme song of the original show. She'll sit down and cuddle with me to watch Pikachu on TV, and that's fan-fucking-tastic. It's really cool. I really, really love it.
Meanwhile, Nintendo is quietly listening in on this, and they're rubbing their hands and saying, yes, we can corrupt another generation.
Give us all the monies. I will continue to give you all the monies, Nintendo and Game Freak. Please continue to make the contents. Don't just go to mobile. I know mobile's been making you a lot of fucking money. Please keep making actual video games.
I'm not even going to lie. The fact that you had a freaking Game Boy printer, just, it's a new low, Steven. It's a new low.
Man, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I had to be the very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah, we went there in episode one. It's great.
All right, so I think we've established at this point that we all really, really enjoy and love this franchise in very different ways and at very differing levels, but we've all got that attachment. Now, I suppose my question for you guys then would be, why? Like, what exactly is it that draws you into this franchise or these games? So, Mess, let's start with you, buddy. What do you love about Pokemon?
So, I think that Pokemon is the right blend of certain elements that makes it really fun and really addictive. Partially, it's the RPG elements. I've always been a big RPG fan. I like the hero's journey in games, and, you know, growing, in power progressively over the course of a game. That's true in just about everything that I play and have enjoyed throughout my childhood and adulthood. It's also really cool that let's be honest, there's tons of little adorable killer creatures to collect. There's a collection aspect to it, and as like a Magic the Gathering player, like that's obviously really cool for me. There's the RPG elements, like I mentioned before, and then there's the customization of how you choose to raise your Pokemon, which I think is really interesting, and the team building. So trying to find, you know, what works best and what teams work best together. And there's always like a certain amount of challenge too. I remember in one run through of Red, trying to build a team of like the worst Pokemon in existence. Like, cause everybody like ends the game. You have, you know, some legendaries and you have your starter and you go up to the Elite Four and you're like, yeah, I'm going to fucking smack you around. It's not even a big deal. Yeah. Try to do that with a Parasect. Okay. It's a lot more difficult. But yeah, I think that really sums it up, and they've really improved on the formula over time. Sun and Moon were absolutely fantastic in their execution, in their visual design, and improving on the core elements. So, you know, I think the series is moving in the right direction, and all the things that I like about it.
Awesome. I mean, I definitely agree with you on a lot of those points. Now, for me, nostalgia is definitely a factor in why I love Pokemon so much. Again, I was the 12-year-old when 12-year-old Ash was 12 for the first time starting his first journey. And so, I mean, there's definitely a powerful hook there. And, you know, I can pick up my 3DS and immediately feel like a kid again with these games. And that's really, really cool. And that definitely colors my outlook. So I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm the most unbiased person in the world. Like, even my most hated Pokemon games and my most hated franchise elements, I'm still pretty fucking fond of. Like, you know, again, if I say that I don't like something, that's purely within the context of things that I love about these games. Like, not that I can't point at negative elements and be critical, but I'm still going to overwhelmingly overlook them in favor of the positive, and a large part of that is nostalgia for me. I will say that as someone who's always been drawn to RPG games, I do love how personal Pokemon games are. Like, it's really, really difficult to find that balance with RPGs, because you have games like some of the Final Fantasy games even, and I love the entire Final Fantasy series, so I'm not picking fun here, I'm not pointing at, but something that I don't like about Final Fantasy games is they feel very, I don't want to say linear, because there are a lot of choices to be made, but they feel very on rails sometimes, in that, you know, my playthrough of Final Fantasy IX is not going to be substantially different from your playthrough of Final Fantasy IX. I might make different choices with how I raise my characters or who I use in my party, but I'm still going to do all of the same key story element things and get the exact same ending. And while that's still very much true with Pokemon games, it still feels like there's a lot more personal agency, a lot more personal choice by and large. You know, again, there's such a huge variety of fucking rage murder monsters that you can choose from at this point that you're very rarely going to be using the same party of six that anybody else is using, unless you're using like the most easily acquired things in the game, the ones that you just literally stumble over ass first. And you know, again, the voiceless protagonist, the character customization that you've had for the last couple of generations, all of these things lead it to feel very much like your adventure as opposed to just the adventure of Pokemon X, even though ultimately you're still going to beat the same evil team, you're going to beat them in the same way, and you're still going to defeat the same Pokemon League. You're doing so in what feels like a very different way, and I love that personally. I mean, I also love the collection and completion aspects. I played WoW. That shouldn't come as a surprise to literally anyone that I will collect all the things until I have all of the shiny achievements in any given game that I'm playing. And Pokemon gives a lot of that, so that's fun. And also, Pokemon themselves are just fucking rad. Like, they just really are. Like, even the doofiest ones, even fucking Bidoof, is just neat as shit. Like, they've all got something cool to admire, and I really appreciate that.
I don't think that anybody would accuse us of not being biased. I mean, you asked us to come do a Pokemon podcast, and two of us showed up. You know, at our age, I think if that's what's going on, we're clearly biased. There's no question.
Clearly, we are huge fucking nerds. I mean, and in the same way, like, I'm more of casual compared to you two. I've only beaten two games from the same generation. But something, the game design of Pokemon itself, it just feels good. Like, you get a real sense of satisfaction when you're tweaking your team, because you can't quite beat that one gym leader, or you can't quite get that legendary Pokemon, so you're making these tweaks and you're really customizing your team in a way that it becomes your team. And I love that aspect.
Awesome. Well, and now here's the real question that separates the men from the boys on the playground. Rohan, you didn't start with Red and Blue like me and Mess did, but you did start with their remakes. So we all started with the same choice of three. Who was your starter? Who was your first starter?
My first starter was Charmander.
Oh, you basic bitch. Why? Why did you pick Charmander?
So, when I picked... And again, I'm late to the party, but when I picked up Fire Red... You know, I had listened to all of my friends, you know, go on and on about how Pokemon was so much fun and talk back and forth. And I was that one kid who, you know, would borrow their friend's Game Boy for like 2 hours or over the weekend and play Pokemon. But when I got my hands on Fire Red that I could call my own, I was just drawn to Charmander. I thought Squirtle was a little bit, and forgive me, a little bit too kitty-like, and Bulbasaur just straight up looked weird, and I
who doesn't like fucking fire dinosaurs?
All right, that's fair. That's perfectly valid. All right, what about you, Mess? Which starter did you pick the very first
time? I'm a Charmander guy too.
Ah, you fucking.
Hey, listen, I just told you that I wanted to get Pokemon Red because of the cool ass fire dragon on the front, and who doesn't like fire dragons? So it should be no surprise when they were like, you can choose this turtle or this little lizard who, you know, breathes fire, or this fucking plant thing. You know, what are you going to pick? Little did I know that I was making my life miserable for the first two gyms by making that selection, as nothing was effective that I did against Brock. Because you're like, yeah, Ember, or Tackle on that Rattata, like, you might as well just, like, level up Pidgey to as high as you can get your damn Pidgey to clear Brock if you got Charmander hanging around. Just gust your way through things. Even that isn't that great. But yeah, I'm a Charmander guy. I've played through runs with Bulbasaur and Squirtle, subsequent runs. The second run I did was Bulbasaur, and I went to that first gym and Raffle stomped it and was like, wow. What a difference.
I'm not going to lie. Consider it making your life miserable. I take it as a challenge.
Well, you say that, but you also initially played Fire Red where Charmander gets Metal Claw, so you can sit your little bitch titties down.
Wow, okay, fuck you too then.
You don't know the struggle, sir.
What about you, Jolly? Since you were like no to both of us, clearly you are not the Charmander man.
No, I am the hipster here. I did not pick the obvious Gen 1 favorite. My Gen 1 favorite was, still is, and always will be my boy Squirtle. and I have...
Disgusting.
Undisputable reasons as to why that is the case. First and foremost, there's the goddamn anime? Squirtle Squad. Squirtle Squad was tits. With his fucking shades, looking like a pimp.
I knew that would be your reason.
That immediately escalated him above the other two lamos. Second of all, Blastoise has fucking cannons, as opposed to your basic ass dragons. Huge fucking water cannons growing out of his shoulders to murder the shit out of everything. It was amazing. It was amazing. I have zero regrets. Squirtle is the only correct decision.
It squirts water at me. I'm all wet. Please.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Super Soaker 5000? I'll take a pass.
All right. You guys can continue to have terrible choice. That just leaves more fucking Panzer Turtles for me. I'm okay with that. All right, so unfortunately, this question's not going to be as interesting for Rohan because he has a much smaller sample size to deal with. So we'll start with you, Mess. Of the games that you have played in the series, which game or set of games was your favorite and why?
Oh man, that's a little harder. Obviously for nostalgia reasons, Red and Blue always hold a special place in my heart, but, I really, enjoyed Gen 4 quite a bit. I think Chimchar is probably one of my favorite Pokemon in the world, if not my favorite Pokemon in the world. I have a thing for, you know, small, adorable monkeys that murder people with flames. But Sun and Moon, execution-wise, I think really, really nailed it. And because they really revitalized my interest in the series, I think I'm going to go with the new stuff. I really like the fact that there were variants of Pokemon. Crazy, psychic, electric, Raichu. Insane. And ones with Surf are just, oh my god, it's so stupid. But so cool at the same time. But yeah, I think for me it's Sun and Moon right now. It's probably because it's a new fad and I'm playing through Moon again right now with that beautiful, shiny Dratini that you hatched me, Jolly. But, yeah, that's it. That's a long roundabout way to answer that question, but I was so torn.
No, it's a difficult one to answer. I don't blame you for that at all. I got to say that personally, it's a difficult one to choose, and the first two generations are always going to hold a very special place because, again, you know, obviously Generation 1 was the original, and then Generation 2 just felt so incredibly fresh when it came out because it took all of the original everything and just built on it. Even though, looking back, I'm able to say that those two were probably the weakest in the entire series in a lot of ways. Because they were the trailblazers, they get a pass on a lot of those things just by being the first. But as far as absolute favorite, for me, it would have to be Generation 5, Black and White. And that's kind of a controversial pick in the community, and I'm aware of that. But for a lot of reasons, it just struck the perfect chord with me. One of those reasons is actually one of the reasons it gets so much hate from the community, which was the fact that it had the all-new Pokedex. That in the original Black and White, through the main story of the game, you do not encounter any old Pokemon at all. All the Pokemon are new and exclusive to that region. And some people complain because they're like, well, you know, just instead of Geodudes, now there's Rock-N-Rollas, but they're basically the same thing. But it seemed almost like they were exploring themes of divergent evolution, since Unova was the first region that they introduced that was not a part of Japan, essentially. It was a part of a different landmass across the ocean. So it seemed almost like they were playing on the theme of, you know, well, you know, obviously there's Pokemon evolution, but, you know, what kind of creatures that fill the same kind of roles would have came to be in a very, very different landmass. And I thought that was really fucking neat. And also just the fact that it gave me a reason to give a shit. Like, you know, I remember, again, being a teenager and playing Gen 3 and seeing all the new shitty Pokemon and just being like, okay, but where do I catch an Abra? Like this is garbage. Where do I catch the good stuff? And I couldn't do that in Gen 5. Like, I had to get to know these new guys. And I grew to become very affectionate to a lot of them. Like, I got new favorites out of that batch. So that was, it was a gimmick. It was a good gimmick for me. I understand why others don't like it. I really enjoyed it. The art was fantastic for the time. I don't know how much of an upgrade it is over Gen 4, because again, I didn't play Gen 4, but having come from a position where the last games I played were Gen 3, the moving sprites, as well as all the overworld art with the, you know, big 3D buildings and all that, it was just really cool. Like, I loved it a lot. I felt like it was breathtaking, and the story. I still feel like Gen 5 has the strongest story out of all the Pokemon games, which isn't a hard trophy to reach. Like, these games are not known for their strong, compelling narratives and characters. But in a couple of the games, they've tried. And I feel like Sun and Moon and Black and White are where they've had the most success. And I think that Black and White just narrowly edges out Sun and Moon. You know, N was a fantastic anti-hero and antagonist. Gestus was a terrifying villain. He's not my favorite villain in the series, but he's really, really close. And they told a really strong story with those characters. So yeah, all the games are really good. Black and White, for me, has to be the best. What about you, Rohan? Again, I know you're working with a small sample size, but of what you've played, what have you enjoyed the most?
What I enjoyed the most? I actually enjoyed Emerald more so than Fire Red. And the reason for that was because of the introduction of the dual battle system, where you 2v2s. I felt that that brought a very interesting dynamic to the basic recipe, for lack of a better word, of Pokemon. And it really made you think, and think on your toes or on your feet, of what Pokemon synergized well with each other, as well as also keeping in mind what you're going to be going up against.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a reason that doubles is the official competitive format. Like, I don't know if you knew that or not, Rohan, but like, if you watch like the Pokemon Worlds tournament, like on Twitch or whatever, it's doubles. Like, the official competitive format is the 2v2 battles for those reasons. It makes a lot of really Pokemon that are really, really subpar in single battles have very, very strong niches in doubles. And that is really cool. That's a totally valid point.
So in talking about Emerald, little side tangent, where we talked about how there's so much water in that generation, how can you not hate Team Aqua for wanting more water?
Magma did nothing wrong. Free Archie. Shit. You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. So yeah, kind of hedging onto that, my next question was going to be, which games are your least favorite and why? And since I've already basically touched on all my own points, I'll just kind of quickly go over that. Again, Gen 3 is my least favorite in the entire series. Ruby and Sapphire just didn't hook me like the earlier and later entries in the series. Part of that's the region. Part of that is the fact that, again, it wasn't backwards compatible. And for me, that was a big deal and kind of a deal breaker at the time. And part of that's just, again, the age and the place I was at socially when those games came out. Like, it was still cool to hang out with a couple of my buddies and play it, you know, together. But, like, it wasn't something that I could really socially enjoy anymore if I wanted to, you know, talk to girls. And I really wanted to talk to girls at that age. So, it just, for all of those reasons, kind of together, it just kind of hit a flat note for me personally. What about you, Mesa? Of the games that you have played, which one have you not liked or liked the least?
I think that I'm right there with you. With Gen 3, when they re-released them, I actually got a chance to play it for the first time. And I agree with you on the water problems. Like, seriously, what's the town near the end where, like, literally half the buildings are on the other side of the town? So there's, like, a lake in the middle. And then you're like, man, I got to go to the gym, but I need somebody with surf. Son of a bitch. Really not a great time. I also don't like the fact that Team Aqua was, like, literally just a bunch of pirates. Just pirates who wanted more water, and I never really understood why. Because there, as we've mentioned, clearly was a lot of it. I felt it was, like, eco-terrorism the Pokemon game. Which didn't really appeal to me. And the, what is it, Kyogre? I think is the legendary water Pokemon from that set.
Yeah.
Like, just Angry Whalemon didn't really do it for me. I'm right there with you. Gen 3 is not my favorite by a long shot. Keep in mind that there are other games that I have not played or have not played in such a long time that my opinion may be colored by that fact. And I may just not know that I hate X and Y more. I have no clue because I haven't played those. But yeah. Yep. Hoenn can suck a dick.
All right. Well, once again, Ryan, I know you're dealing with a really small sample size. So obviously your least favorite of the two that you played was Fire Red. Was there anything in particular about it that fell flat for you, or was it just that you didn't like it as well comparatively to Emerald?
It's more of I just didn't like it comparatively to Emerald. I just preferred Emerald over Fire Red. That being said, I beat them both.
And that's totally a fair opinion. Like, there are a lot of people who still maintain that Emerald is the best game in the entire series to date. I'm not one of them, but they are a very vocal group. So clearly they did some things right. Now, the most difficult question in all of Pokemon fandom, and we'll start with you, Rohan. If you had to pick one, literally one, who is your favorite Pokemon and why?
So my favorite Pokemon, and this is going to get me labeled as, oh, he knows nothing, Mewtwo. I enjoy Mewtwo. And my love for Mewtwo actually spawns out of the show and the movie rather than the game itself. I always found Mewtwo to be kind of a Shakespearean tragedy.
I'm shaking my head at you.
I don't care.
I'm just shaking
that's,
my
that's
head.
That's totally valid.
I don't care.
Like, Mewtwo has some of the coolest lore in all of the Pokemon games. That's totally a valid opinion to hold. You're still a scrub if you, like, use him, to me, personally.
Oh, no, but I use him.
No, that's totally valid. Like, and that first movie was really, really strong. So, no, that's totally valid. What about you, Mess? Who's your favorite?
So, I am a big fan of Chimchar and Chimchar's evolutions. Probably my favorite Pokemon. There's a more sentimental reason for that than any like moveset or, you know, abilities or traits or any of that stuff. When I was a kid, I was a tall, lanky kid. I stand about 6'4", 6'5", abouts there. And when I was growing up, I was like a beanpole. I was like a total rail. And I went bowling with my family, and I was in that like kind of somewhat awkward period, and where your growth spurt is hitting and your body just can't keep up. And I was trying to figure out which size bowling ball to use, and I picked up one that was way too heavy, and it was literally swinging from side to side in my arms. And my mother like cracked up because I looked so ridiculous, and she just called me Monkey Boy. And it just stuck. Like, that was the label of my life from that moment on. Like, everybody jokingly gets me monkey shit all the time. Even to this day, I'm 32, and I can be pretty much guaranteed that at Christmas or my birthday or something, someone will get me something with a monkey on it. So, obviously, it should be no surprise that a starter Pokemon that is a monkey, who is also a fire type, which is usually, you know, my favorite type of Pokemon, and Infernape's a badass, so there's that, would be my favorite.
That's totally legitimate. Infernape is actually really, really solid, too, so that's not even a bad pick. Especially in Gen 4 when he was released. Like, he was pretty fucking broken back then. His only downfall now is that he's just worse than Blaziken in every way. But like, he's still really good. It's just for everything you would use him for, you should probably be using Blaziken.
Man, Blaziken, don't even get me started. Chickens are meant to be eaten, not battled.
Well, I mean, he's a fried chicken. He just hasn't cooled off yet. All right, so for me personally, first of all, I just kind of want to throw out there that again, I do play a little bit more competitively than these guys. Like, I'm not, like, super into competitive Pokemon. Like, I don't spend all my time on Showdown. I don't do, like, tournaments and shit. But, you know, I follow what good movesets are. I like to do Battle Tree and stuff like that. So, to me, there's a disconnect between Pokemon that I really like for their own sake and Pokemon that I like using, but don't necessarily excite me from a design standpoint. Like, for instance, you know, Greninja and Salamence being obvious examples. I'll use the shit out of them in competitive, but I don't love them. Like, I like the way they play. I'll play with them if I'm doing things that are hard because they're really good and I'm good at using them. But I don't love them as Pokemon. When it comes to Pokemon that I love, I have very simple tastes. I don't know why these are my tastes, but it's been proven time and time again that they just are. I love crazy, enormous murder bugs. I think that they're fucking rad. I love bats, I love bears, and I love pigs. Like, those are the varieties of Pokemon that make Steven happy in his soul. So within that criteria, there is one Pokemon that is both two of those categories, and I'm good at using and enjoy using competitively, and that is Gliscor. He's a crazy, badass scorpion bat. He's well designed, he looks really, really neat. He has an attractive shiny. I dig the color palette, both his default color palette and his shiny color palette. They're distinct, and they both look attractive. I love his playstyle. I don't love glass cannon Pokemon, really. Like, I'll use them, but I really like bruisers. Like, I like Pokemon that can take a hit and hit back hard. And that is Gliscor to a T. He's very, very defensive. He has Poison Heal for his hidden ability, so you throw a Toxic Orb on him, and he's just stolly as shit. He can roost off damage, too. It's wonderful. And then he can set up with Swords Dance and have Stab, Earthquake, and just demolish everything, and it's beautiful. I love the shit out of him. Now, I know I said we had to pick one, and I did. Gliscor is my current favorite, but I do want to throw an honorable mention, and that is Pinsir, because he was my first favorite Pokemon. He was my favorite Pokemon in Red and Blue. Not so much because of in-game, because Bug was just garbage in-game. Again, like, he wasn't really usable, but I loved his design, and I loved his TCG card. Like, my primary trading card game deck was built around Pinsir. So that really fostered my love of that guy. And I love the fact that he got a Mega in X and Y. Mega Pinsir is fantastic. And I made sure to breed myself a shiny of him. So he's sitting on my main game cartridge. So he's a badass too. I'll always have a lot of love for him, but Gliscor is definitely my current favorite.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of bugs, but, all the power to you.
Man, I'm not a big fan of like real bugs. Like, some of them are cool, I guess, but now in Pokemon, man, Pinsir, Heracross, Scyther, Scizor, Galvantula, all the big murdery bugs. They're just fantastic. Volcarona is amazing. The fire moth from Generation 5. It's so good. Like, it's super bulky. It can take a hit. It can roost off the damage. It has Quiver Dance to set up. It's just, it's fantastic. I love bugs.
All I'm hearing is that you're going to build a team of murder bugs.
Oh, I'll totally run Monotype Bug. I have no problem with that.
Oh, man. I think I might pay you to see that. Just a Monotype Bug Elite Four match.
Oh, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. I will get started breeding. okay, so we've kind of got a taste of what our favorites are. So let's spin that around. And we'll start with you, Mez. Who is, if you had to pick one, who is your least favorite Pokemon and why do you dislike?
Oh, man. I feel like I'm going to say this and you're going to be super upset, but, I fucking hate Zubat with a passion. just blame Mount Moon, man. Mount Moon, I can't move two spaces without getting attacked by a Zubat. And when you're playing Pokemon Go, it's almost the same fucking thing. At least here in Maine. Like, there's Zubats everywhere.
There's Zubats all in downtown Indy.
Freaking God, all the time. Zubat. It's not even that Zubat can't be a great Pokemon. Like, he can be. Golbat and Crobat can be amazing. But just the fact of the matter that I saw one every two spaces while I was trying to find my way through Mount Moon in the dark, mind you, that first time when you're like, what the hell's Flash? Was absolutely terrible. And they just have annoyed me ever since. It's nothing against their moveset or their stats. I just, when I see a Zubat, my eyebrows furrow and I just want it dead.
No, that's totally valid. And honestly, I hated them just as much in Red and Blue. I didn't start liking the Zubat line until they introduced Crobat. And again, yeah, I really dislike overpopulated Pokemon for the most part. Like the ones that, again, you can't take three steps without running into. Every game's got them. The regional rodents, most of the regional birds are like that. Fucking Zubat, fucking Geodude, you know. But personally, some of them I'll use and will wind up being really, really good. Like the obvious examples in that category would be Zubat becoming a badass Crobat and carrying my team. Tentacruel is amazing if you raise it properly. So I've got a lot of love for the Tentacruel line, even though it's, again, trash that's everywhere. And Magikarp also, obviously, Gyarados is a fucking monster. So if you raise it properly, it can do work for you. So those kind of get a pass for me, even though they're everywhere, even though they're irritating, because they have been and can continue to be so good. I can tolerate them, but the ones that are just garbage are the ones that really get under my skin. They're everywhere. I'm constantly trying to get away from them and they're just dog shit Pokemon. So in Sun and Moon in the current generation, the obvious example of that is fucking Donald Trump. I mean, goddamn. I want to call him Zangoose, but no, Zangoose is the Gen 3 Mongoose. It's Gumshoes. Gumshoes and Yungoose are everywhere, and they're kind of garbo. I'm sure they can be okay. I just don't think they're okay, and I don't like them. But they're not my all-time least favorite. My all-time least favorite Pokemon is another regional rodent, and it's Patrat. Patrat is terrible. It's just awful. It has no redeeming qualities. Its eyes are creepy. It looks into your soul, and I want to kill it with fire. Like, I will never use a Patrat in my life if I can avoid it. I hate that thing.
Oh, man. I just went and looked it up so I could see a picture of this thing. Because it just wasn't ringing any bells. And I can see immediately why you fucking hate this thing. You should totally make this image the little thumbnail for the podcast for this episode.
I hate Pat Rat so fucking much. We're going to have like a Pat Rat emoji in Twitch. The hatred I have for it is unreasonable, and I know that it's unreasonable, but that does not weaken it whatsoever. What about you, Rohane? If you had to pick one, who is your least favorite?
God. You see, you give Magikarp a pass because it evolves into Gyarados. I am not so generous.
What, you don't like Splash, Rohane?
No, Magikarp is just... Other than its evolution, it is arguably the worst Pokemon ever. Or, alternatively, actually no, there is one that I hate more than Magikarp. Sandshrew.
What? You hate Sandshrew? Why are you hating on Sandshrew? He's adorable.
Yes, he's adorable, and he gets points for that. But I have yet to get a Sandshrew to work in my team.
My question for you then, Rohane, is have you seen the new Alolan variant for Sandshrew and Sandslash?
The new
one. Out there, Jolly, a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Have you seen the new Alolan variant for Sandshrew and Sandslash, Rohane?
No, I have not.
They, in the current generation of games, they took some old Gen 1 Pokemon, particularly ones that just didn't really work, that had been left very far behind in the power creep, and they gave them new regional forms. So generally those come with new typings, new stat allocations, not necessarily more stats, but more optimized stats, better placed stats. Some of them worked really well competitively, some of them not as much. Sandshrew actually falls into the not as much category. It's not as good, but I really, really like what they did with it. There's an image of a Alolan Sandshrew.
Did you name your Sandshrew Elsa? Let it go, let it go. You're not a ground type anymore.
That would have been excellent, but no, I did not. Actually, I've only played Sun, so I've never actually caught a Sandshrew. I've you know, bred them and done other things, but I've never actually caught one because it's a version exclusive for the other game.
Yeah, I really dig the regional variants for Sun and Moon, and I hope they continue to do that as they move forward.
This is entirely off topic, but there's a rumor that because Ultra Sun and Moon are coming out just a couple of months after the Generation 2 Virtual Console re-releases, that Ultra Sun and Moon are going to have some Johto Pokemon Alolan forms. We'll see if that has any substance to it, but yeah, that could potentially be really, really cool depending on which mons they choose and how they go about it. I'd like to see an Alolan Ursa ring. Again, I got a thing for bears. That'd be neat.
Yeah, that would be really neat.
Okay, cool. So that's that. We now have kind of firmly established what we all don't like. So now moving on. One more question about your personal preferences on the original sets, or on the sets of games that you played, rather. Again, we all kind of know that the Pokemon games, generally their strength is not usually their story, although some of them have succeeded in telling some pretty solid stories. But we've all usually got at least one character, whether it's a rival or a Pokemon professor from a given region, or a gym leader, Elite Four member, league champion, or even a villain, like an evil team leader, that just strikes a chord, that you grow particularly fond of. So we'll start with you, Rohane. Who is your, if you had to pick one, who is your favorite NPC in the Pokemon games that you played?
So, my favorite is actually Gary. And for no other reason than I just want to punch him in the face. No, I'd say that, and it sounds very negative. Oh, he's your favorite, but you want to punch him in the face? Kind of. It's his arrogance and just general attitude about things makes for a very good villain design
of sorts, or in not so much a villain, I suppose, but opponent, rival. And it's
a good motivator to basically kick his face in every time I see.
No, that's totally solid, and there's a lot of sentiment that you know, Generation 1 and 2, in the form of Blue and Silver, both had really solid antagonist rivals who really kind of got under your skin, and you know, they weren't friendly, whereas then the series kind of tended to trend more towards friendly rivals, or like even in the most recent game, Sun and Moon, you know, one of your quote-unquote rivals is a kid named Gladion, and he's a lot more of the old Gary Oak style. He's very arrogant. He looks down his nose at you, but it's still not quite the same because, you know, with Gary or with Blue, or as I always personally named him, Assbutt, you know, he was so antagonistic. Like he would pounce on you like after you just got out of, you know, like enormously long cave complexes and your Pokemon were tired and frail. Like he made you hate him, and the games just don't want to present that level of difficulty anymore. It seems that they don't let it be that hard. And that's kind of a shame in some ways.
Yeah, I always remember, like you're saying, like right out of Mount Moon, that rival battle. So awful. You feel like so relieved. You're like, man, I'm out of the dark, and I went through all these ladders and got attacked by Zubats. And then he's like, hey, check out all my crap.
Swarmed by Zubats. It's like, god damn
fucking
it,
Gary.
This is not the time.
All right, but no, that was totally solid. That's a completely legitimate choice, Rohan. So what about you, Mess? Who is your favorite NPC in the series?
So I really like one of the new characters from Sun Moon. I think his name's Hau. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's H-A-U. He cracks me up because he's your counterpart when you pick Pokemon in the beginning, which is normally, you know, the Gary equivalent, who's a pain in your ass. But that kid, like, seriously, loves to eat food, like, and tries way too hard to have friends. Like, I've never met somebody who gives me a gift, like, every 2 days, but that kid does. And I feel kind of bad for him, especially with that stone-cold stare that all the player characters have in Sun and Moon. Like, that kid smiles all the time. He's the happiest dude ever, and you're just a robot. But he so desperately wants to be friends with you.
Oh, you'll like this, Mess. I sincerely doubt that it's true. But speaking of Hau, since he's your favorite, you know how his grandfather is the Kahuna, and his dad apparently, like left to travel in Kanto to become stronger? There's a rumor that his dad is Brock.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's the rumor, is that his dad is Brock. And that's why Brock is so dark-complected as compared to a lot of the other NPCs in Kanto and all that. So I thought that was pretty fucking wild. You know, I have to agree with you in that I also would have to pull from Sun and Moon, which again is a pretty huge compliment. Gen 5 is my favorite. It had really solid characters, really solid story. But my favorite, my singular favorite NPC in the series ever has to be your boy, Guzma, leader of Team Skull. He's so fantastic. He's so over the top and silly on the surface, but there's so much depth there. There's so much going on when you start to really look into. I don't know if you would have seen this, Mez, in your playthroughs, but you know, in, I think it's Route 2, the one that's to the north of the first city there on Mele Mele Island. There's that one house there right before the Pokemon Center, and that's Guzma's house. Like, that's where he grew up. And there's a lot of little signs, if you poke around that house and like talk to like little items around the house and whatnot, that indicate that he was like abused by his dad, that his dad beat the shit out of him with golf clubs and shit. So there's all of that. There's a lot of like second place trophies in his room, and it really, really seems like, A, obviously he's kind of got some mental problems going on, but really he just wants respect. And wants to be appreciated and valued by the people that he respects. And he's never really gotten that, and it's just made him kind of bitter and angry. And it's really relatable. But then it just on the surface level, he's so over the top and goofy and silly and so stereotypically cartoony gangster, then it's fun. It's fun and funny. And it also helps that he's a bug type specialist and he's legitimately threatening, which is something that these games don't get a lot of. And again, Bug has a pretty soft spot in my heart, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had to have something to do with that. He's like the super powered up version of the bug catchers from Red and Blue there in the forest.
Well, and I think it's kind of symbolic that his ace is his Golisopod, which Golisopod is another one that's up there in my favorites, by the way. Probably my favorite Gen 7 edition. It's a fucking fantastic design. I have mixed feelings about it in play. Like, the ability is both a blessing and a curse, depending on how it comes out. But I find it incredibly symbolic that, again, Guzma has this history of abuse, and Golisopod is this big, strong, scary-looking thing that still runs away if you get it to half health. Like, it's still scared. Even though they changed the name of the ability from Wimp Out to Emergency Exit, he still runs away if he feels threatened. Like, he's not the monster that he appears to be, and I feel like that's very symbolic of Guzma as a character. But that's nobody's listening to a goddamn Pokemon podcast to listen to me wax about symbolism in the characters, so I'll leave that alone.
It's pretty deep there, Jolly. It's pretty deep.
I don't know. I like Guzma, and I like bugs, and Guzma likes bugs, so he's my homie for life. Okay, so I called you fellas here to start this show, and it wasn't just for us to wax eloquent about Pokemon. Although that's fun, and we'll be doing a lot of that. But I'm actually here to issue a challenge, or specifically the challenge. And the challenge that I am issuing is very specific, and I don't think it's going to be one that you're going to have a whole lot of framework for. So I'm going to try to be very general, and we can kind of go into a lot more specifics on the next episode after you've had a chance to process. So, gentlemen, are you at all familiar with the Nuzlocke rule set?
A little bit. Not in depth, but I've heard of it.
Nuzlocke legitimately sounds like a deformed Pokemon that's been bludgeoned to death.
That's not entirely inaccurate, actually. So Nuzlocke is a fan-created Pokemon rule set. And actually, when you get the chance, both you guys and our listeners, I highly encourage you, if you haven't already, to go back and read the original Nuzlocke comics. It was just this guy who decided that he wanted to play Pokemon Emerald, I think was the original game, in a new kind of fun way, and he chronicled it in a comic. And it's very childish, immature humor. Like, there's a lot of things that in 2017 as a 30-year-old man I don't necessarily appreciate in there, but I also understand that this is from the perspective of like a 15-year-old kid when he wrote it, so you've got to kind of give and take a little there, but it's still excellent. But the Nuzlocke rule set is incredibly simple, but it's it's very challenging in application. There are only three rules to a Nuzlocke run. Rule number one is that you may only catch the first Pokemon that you encounter in a given route. So if you go to route one, the first thing that you encounter is a goddamn Rattata, then you either catch that Rattata or you don't. But either way, you can't catch anything else on route one.
What the hell? Shit, man.
That's gonna suck.
Yeah. Well, thankfully for you, at least, there's not a lot better than that Rattata on route one. But still, that's how that works. Now rule number two, where this gets really interesting, is if a Pokemon faints, so if it gets knocked out in battle, or if it gets poisoned and it gets knocked out from you walking around before you get to the Pokemon Center or whatever, if it faints for any reason, it is considered dead. You must either release it at your first opportunity, or you must stick it in like a graveyard box in your computer and never pull it out, never use it in combat again. It is completely considered dead for the rest of the run.
Hold up. Okay, so if all six of your Pokemon faint, was that game over?
There's a couple of ways to interpret that. Some people say if all six of your Pokemon faint and you white out, that's immediate game over, you lose. Some people say if you've still got usable Pokemon in your bank that you can release all the ones that you had, pick up a new party, and try to start over. Personally, I tend to fall into the first camp. As far as I'm concerned, if everything you have on you dies, that's probably realistically should be game over. But that's something that we can discuss later, how we want to interpret that.
That's pretty brutal, considering that the kid is, like, what, fucking 10 years old?
Yeah, right?
Man, when I was, like, 11 or 12, somebody told me my Charmander was dead. Like, dead. I think I would have cried. No joke.
Now, the third rule isn't nearly as brutal. The third rule is simply that everything that you catch, you have to nickname.
Okay.
Oh, come on, man.
Nope. I am a purist. I never name my Pokemon.
Really? That's the deal breaker for you, motherfucker?
He
can take all the other rules. Naming's hard. I can respect that, though. I mean, you know, I mean, every Pidgey's named Pidgey, right?
I mean, I guess. It
kind of stems back from my love with the
TV show. You don't see Ash naming his fucking Pikachu like Mr. Oldston.
Ash has also been 12 for 20 years and he's never won a Pokemon League, so kind of fuck him.
he's also got a dumb name.
Yeah, at least in the Japanese dub, they gave him an actual name. Like, you could tell whoever did the English localization didn't think that this fad was going to last because they named him fucking Ketchum.
No, so the reason I said that that's going to be difficult is because, like, I run a lot of tabletop RPGs, and whenever someone's like, hey, what's this dude's name? I'm like, shit. What am I going to do? I don't know. Just pick a name. And they're like, well, he's not important, I guess. Doesn't have a fucking name. I'm like, damn it. So just the thought of having to think of a name, I'll have to think of a little fun rule set or something so that I have a pre-generated list of names on a theme or something like that.
As it so happens, I am totally guilty of this as well as a game master. Messer and I, we participate in a Pathfinder game on Monday evenings where this totally happens, where I will just not name an NPC or think of an NPC name on the fly. A good example of this is Mr. Barrington, a animated talking bear.
Yeah, I forgot you named that bear Mr. Barrington. Way to go. Way to go, Roy.
That is the best bear name ever, and the first Pokemon that I catch that is a bear is going to be Mr. Barrington, so thank you for that. I know it seems kind of silly, but the nickname rule actually does make sense within the context of the rule set. The whole point of the Nuzlocke rule set is to encourage you to use and appreciate Pokemon that you would normally not. Maybe something that you would normally either just catch and use in the early part of the games and then box once you get the better stuff later, or even just never bother picking up at all. You know, when it's your only encounter and, you know, if it dies, it's dead forever, then suddenly it's more valuable to you. And nicknaming kind of falls within that. It helps foster a closeness with your team. You know, it's not just, this isn't just random Pidgey. Like, this is Mr. Warbles. And, you know, if Mr. Warbles takes an unlucky crit, then he's dead forever. You know, it's like how they tell farm children not to name the pigs because they're going to be bacon. Like, except we're doing the opposite. We're naming them intentionally so that it breaks our heart when they die.
Oh, Steven, you're killing me.
And for the record, there are ways to get around not being good at nicknaming things. Like, exactly like Mess said, you can always come up with, like, a nickname theme and even pre-generate names before you even start playing so that you've got a list and you can go, okay, well, you know, I got 12 names to pick from. Which one fits this thing best? So that's something you could do. Not to get too far ahead of myself, but we're going to be streaming our gameplay too. So once we get, you know, at least a moderate audience, you can always turn it over to your followers, the people watching you, and say, okay, well, we caught this thing. I don't know what to name it. What do you guys think we should name it? And go to the chat for answers. So there's always that. But ultimately, the point of the rule set, the reason, or at least the point of us using the rule set, why I like it, is, you know, ultimately, you know, we're all grown folks at this point. we've all played more challenging games than Pokemon. We played more challenging games together. That's how we really kind of got to be friends, is playing more challenging games together. And we all love Pokemon, but nothing's going to make them hard again by default. This rule set will make them harder, which will make them more fun. It'll provide an actual challenge. And, you know, just like playing other games that have some sort of death rule, like, you know, Diablo and Hardcore, for instance, will be a good example for Rohan. I know you play a shit ton of Diablo. Using the Nuzlocke rule set gives the game stakes. You know, it gives it depth. Every stupid little Pokemon that you catch is going to suddenly be valuable when there's only a limited number that you're ever going to be able to catch. You can't just go out and replace them if you lose them. So, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. But ultimately what I'm challenging you guys to is I want us to go through and I want us to play through each of the games in the Pokemon series in order using the Nuzlocke rule set. We're going to do it competitively. There's going to be a competitive aspect. We're going to be keeping score and assigning points, for certain positive accomplishments. We'll deduct points for negative events. And then again, the nitty gritty of those details we can go into in the next episode. I'm going to give you guys time to digest this before we start talking numbers. But yeah, we're going to compete with each other. And we're even going to fight our teams against each other, which before somebody throws it out there, yes, I know that we don't all live locally. I know that we don't all have Game Boy Colors with link cables to bust that shit out. But, there's actually
you might Joe. You might still have that stuff.
I may or may not have some or most or all of that stuff. but there's actually a website. It's Pokemon Showdown. It's a battle simulator that can simulate all the different Pokemon games battle systems, and you can use it to battle against other people. So what we'll be doing is, instead of actually physically linking cartridges to battle, is we'll be uploading our teams to Showdown and using it to battle there. We'll both challenge ourselves against the game as well as challenging ourselves against each other, and we'll see who is legitimately the very best. And we'll stream our gameplay for our followers on Twitch so that they can follow along and play with us. So what do you say, guys? Is this something you might be interested in?
Well, I suppose I've sat here for I don't know how long talking about it. Yeah, sure. We'll give it a shot, or I'll give it a shot. I can't speak for Ryan over there. But you're on, bitch. Like yeah, you're going to totally kick my ass. It's not even funny. But yeah, we'll give it a go.
Well, I've been sitting here for about an hour and 13 minutes, and yeah, I'm totally going to kick both of your asses. So good luck, gentlemen.
All right, well, we'll see, bitch. Bear in mind, like, you're stepping into my world. Like, you've only played one generation of Pokemon, and we're starting from the beginning. We'll be starting with Gen 1, so this is completely outside of your element. So you might want to be prepared to eat a little bit of humble pie. Okay, awesome. Like, I'm glad that we're all on board, and, like, this is going to be a really fun project. I'm looking forward to it. So, again, we're gonna leave that here for today. We will meet back here next time to record, and at that point we'll go into some of the further details. We'll be setting our rule set for our run. Even though there are only the three main rules for Nuzlocke runs, there's a lot of sub-rules or clauses that the community commonly uses to kind of adjust the difficulty and make it more interesting. So we'll kind of go over some of the common ones and decide if we want to use any of those. We'll also go over our competitive aspects and figure out the exact point system that we're going to use and how we're going to assign and deduct points. And we will go ahead and go over the Gen 1 games and choose our starters and games, which we'll be doing by draft. So we're all going to have different starters. We're all going to have different versions, at least in the generations that have three versions, which includes the first. So one of us will get to play red, one of us will get to play blue, one of us will get to play yellow. So we'll be deciding all that stuff next time. So that's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much, everyone. Assuming anyone is listening to us, we're listening. Now listeners, do bear in mind, that we are a new podcast, and as such, we want to get a few episodes under our belts before we release these publicly. So if you are listening to this now, we are most likely well within, if not finished with, the Generation 1 games. So don't be disappointed by that. We are going to stream as we play, even though these episodes of the podcast aren't live yet. And we will be uploading those stream archives to YouTube at youtube.com/blastburnradio. So by all means, if you want to listen to our episodes and go back and check out our gameplay and play along with us, we absolutely want to encourage you to do so. You can check out those stream archives there. Also, if you are playing along with us, or if you are playing your own challenge that's completely unrelated to ours, or doing anything else, and you just want to let us know about what you're doing or what you feel about what we're doing, please, please email us. We want your emails, we want your feedback, and we want to read those on air. And you can reach us at blastburnradio@gmail.com. Now, that is our episode for today. I do want to say thank you and farewell to our wonderful hosts. Now, Messer Engine, where can our lovely listeners find you online if they want to find more of your work or more of what you're up to?
Oh, man, you caught me off guard here. Give me half a second. Let's see. You can find Mythic Portal Games on Facebook and at Mythic Portal Games on Twitter. You can check us out there, and certainly you can reach out to us via email at mythicportalgames@gmail.com.
Okay, Rohan, what about you, buddy? If any of our listeners want to check out you and what you are doing, where can they find you online?
So I can be reached at three places. The first place that you can reach me at most directly is going to be my email address. You can send me emails to posmgaming@gmail.com. The second is going to be my YouTube channel, where you can check out all sorts of very interesting related video game content, mostly just me being a complete idiot and people for some reason actually watching my stuff. That is at youtube.com/posmgaming. And then finally, you can watch my shenanigans live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Rohane. Unfortunately, I'm not cool enough to have my own Facebook page or Twitter yet.
Awesome. Well, once again, guys, I am Jolly by Nature. And if you want to find me or anything that I am working on, I do have a brand new Twitter. I am kind of the old man shaking his fist saying, get off my lawn. I don't really understand the Twitter, but I'm going to try to use it and reach out to you guys. You can follow me at TheJollyByNature. I also will be starting to stream on Twitch. I'm new to that as well, so bear with me if I'm a little glitchy, initially at least. But you can also follow me on Twitch at JollyByNature, twitch.tv/JollyByNature. Wonderful. So once again, thank you everyone for listening. That is our show this week. I do want to thank my co-hosts, Messer Engine and Rohane. For Blastburn Radio, I am Jolly by Nature. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Blastburn Radio is a production of Challenge Accepted Media. This episode was produced by Jolly by Nature, Rohane, and Messer Engine. Pokemon and all related games and characters are the property and trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, and the Pokemon Company. Opening music in today's episode includes Game On by Fishy. Check out this and other video game remixes at ocremix.org. Closing music in today's episode is Pokemon Gold and Silver ending theme arrangement by Zephyr Badge. Check out this and other tracks at soundcloud.com/Zephyr Badge. Blastburn Radio and its hosts are solely responsible for its content.